Welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth, on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at noon on KVSH 101.9 FM and on voiceofvashon.org at your convenience. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and here's a schedule update. Real Talk has moved to twice a month from weekly episodes. An exciting new show, Let's Get Physical, hosted by retired chiropractor Dr. Lauren Chin, is now taking the 12 noon spot on the first and third Tuesdays of the month. Dr. Chin offers excellent health information and Real Talk offers expert insights. It's a winning Tuesday lunchtime fare. Today on Real Talk, we're taking a look at the pandemic's influence on performing arts here on Vashon and regionally. My guest to provide us insight into that somewhat jittery question is Charlotte Tinkin. Charlotte brings to us decades of theater management, mostly in the nonprofit arena. She's managed theater and performing arts companies literally from coast to coast. Welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you, Susan. I'm so happy to be here, as always.
I'm so happy to have you here. Full disclosure, I do work with Charlotte at Vashon Repertory Theater, which is the theater company she has had the chutzpah to start during the pandemic. What were you thinking?
I think I wasn't thinking very clearly, honestly. Let me back up and say, this has been something that's been long in my brain for a while, and I just have never had the time to really sit down and figure out how to start a theater company. And COVID allowed me the time to do that. I wasn't working, and I was at home, and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, this is the time to really think about whether starting my own theater company is the right thing. And I had the time to figure it out. I had a lot of great support from so many people on the island who said, yeah, do it. And so we did. And we started with doing things virtually and streaming work at the Vashon Center for the Arts on their stage, which was not being used at all at the time. And so we did that. And we started, our first performance was a year ago in October. Not this past October, but the October before that, October of 2020.
And the year of the pandemic explosion.
Yeah. We were all like masked up and not touching each other and staying 6 feet away. And we still did theater, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah. And you used some clever machinations in the material that you chose so that not everyone did have to mask up. And I'm referring to
Savage Love.
Savage Love. Yeah. Tell us what you did to make that work.
Well, this was a play by Sam Shepard, which is a series of poems about love and all types of different types of love. And Elizabeth Kloeb, who is the executive director at UMO Ensemble, and I decided to work on this together. And she came up with the idea about, why don't we use real couples who live together and who we don't have to worry about masking and having them 6 feet away from each other. And it was a brilliant idea and it worked beautifully. And so we ended up asking different couples, acting couples, theater couples all over the island, if they would be interested in doing one of the poems. And they all said, yeah. So it was great. It worked out really well. And it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. We did that for Valentine's Day of 2021. It was
just a year ago. Yeah. Those are some clever workarounds that you have applied to make Vashon Repertory Theater work.
Yes.
And that's pretty darned impressive. Taking advantage of the talent that's on the island already and maybe we'll talk about this a little more later. But I want to know, first of all, what's next for Vashon Repertory Theater?
Well, we had a really successful summer festival last year. I knew that if we were going to do theater, it had to be outdoors. People weren't ready to come inside yet. There was still a lot of concern about what was going to happen with COVID. And so we decided to do outdoor theater, and we did a production of The Tempest at Open Space for Arts and Community in their meadow and behind the building, which was lovely. And UMO Ensemble performed out in that meadow. We did a production of Woody Guthrie's American Song at Ober Park, which was so much fun.
A huge hit.
And So it really worked really well. And I think people were ready to come and see theater, but they felt more comfortable being outside. So we're going to do it again. And we're doing another festival this July, the last two weekends in July, that will be mostly outdoors, although we're doing a couple of indoor events. But the next thing that's really coming up for us is a production of The Exonerated, which is a play that I've known about for quite some time. It's based on true stories of six people who were sentenced to death for crimes that they did not commit. And the playwrights went around the country and interviewed these people, found out more about their stories, and then put them together into one evening of work about what happened to them, how they ended up in prison, and how they got out, and information about our justice system and what's wrong with our justice system and how we really need to take a long look at how people end up in prison. And not everybody who's in prison should be there. And especially people who end up on death row.
And interestingly, but we just learned last night that the death penalty has really been reduced in this country, which kind of surprises me. But there still are executions happening. There still are people on death row for certain capital crimes.
The state of Texas executes people regularly. I think I just heard of someone who was killed last week. So there are different, and it's different from state to state. But thankfully, Washington State has gotten rid of the death penalty, but only recently, 2018.
Yeah, that's
which
that's
I was surprised.
Surprising, right? Yeah. We think of our state as being liberal, but not so much in that regard. Yeah. So you're going to stage The Exonerated at Vashon Center for the Arts. What are the dates?
Yes. February 25th, 26th, and 27th. 7:30 Friday and Saturday night, and 2:00 on Sunday. And after the matinee on Sunday, there's going to be this is a co-production with Surge, Standing Up for Racial Justice, which is
showing up for racial justice.
Sorry, but it's a great organization. It's a national organization, and we have a chapter here on the island, which I'm so pleased to know that. And they have put together a wonderful panel discussion after the 2:00 matinee with the state representatives of the ACLU, state executive directors of the ACLU. Now, you correct me because you know.
Yes. The Innocence Project. And the Freedom Project.
And the Freedom Project.
All the executive directors of each of those three organizations are going to provide a panel discussion, conversation with the audience after the matinee on Sunday. And you've got other stuff going on after each of the other performances.
I felt it was really important that we allow the audience an opportunity to talk about what they saw and ask questions about it. And so Friday night, we're doing a talk back with the director, myself, and some cast members. And Saturday night, Amanda Knox is going to be talking about her work with the Innocence Project and her experience, a little bit about her experience. She lives on Vashon now, which is wonderful, and she's quite a remarkable person, and I'm looking forward to having her.
So for those folks who don't know who Amanda Knox is, she is a young woman who was convicted of murdering her roommate in Italy as a student, I think a 20-year-old student.
She's 20, yeah.
And spent 3 years in an Italian prison until, I guess, DNA discovered or at least exonerated her, if not discovering the actual murderer, and got her out of jail. But she's originally from West Seattle and was certainly deeply impacted by this experience and has made it her life's work to help others.
Yes.
Who are wrongly convicted of crimes. So she'll have some interesting things to say. And that's the Saturday night performance of The Exonerated. Right. So you've got a whole lot of stuff going on with Vashon Repertory Theater. In addition to The Exonerated, I think this might be an offshoot of the play readings that were done during the festival last summer at Snapdragon.
Right.
You continued the incubator series. Tell us about that.
It's a monthly reading of new plays by local, or as in, well, some Vashon playwrights, but Northwest playwrights. And it's an opportunity for the playwright to hear their play read out loud, because plays are supposed to be read out loud or read or spoken. And it's an opportunity for audience members to hear new plays and to talk about them and to talk about what they felt worked and what they felt needed more work, so that the playwright can go back and do some more work on the play and get it ready for a full production. So that will be, that's every month until May, the third Thursday of the month.
And third Monday.
Third Monday. And on Monday the 21st, is that the date?
Yep.
There will be a reading. And these are in the lobby of the K. White Theater at the VCA. So come and join us. I mean, the other thing I want to say is that I really feel very strongly that that theater needs to be accessible and available for all people. And so no one is turned away because of their lack of ability to pay for anything that Vashon Repertory Theater does. And we have suggested donations for people to come. The Play Readings Incubator Series is a suggested donation of $10. But if you come and can only pay a dollar, that's fine. We don't care. We just want you there. So that's very, very important to us. And it's part of our mission that we make the arts accessible to people so that you don't have to worry about how much it costs.
Well, that's a great segue into a broader discussion, because I do see that Vashon Repertory Theater is an organization that has at its heart the love of theater. So you do the incubator series so theater lovers can participate in the development of material, and so that playwrights can develop their material. And you're making theater accessible, and you're making theater relevant. The Exonerated is definitely a story about what's happening now in the criminal system in this country. And then the Summer Theater Fest, which brings everybody outdoors again this summer to see plays that are traditional and some that are new and exciting. So when I think about theater and the performing arts at this time in human history, it's clear there have been incredible obstacles to theater. But when I see what you've done with Vashon Rep, and maybe you know about some others, there have also been some creative advantages taken mm-hmm. of the situation. Mm-hmm. How would you characterize the advantages or the situations that caused a little more creativity in the development of the performing arts during the pandemic?
Well, I think when the pandemic happened and every theater in this country had to shut down, it really made us as creative artists to think about, okay, what can we do? That because we can't invite people in to see live performance right now. So are there other options that are out there for us? And I think that it really helped to open up a whole new world of, oh, well, we can try this, or we can do streaming, we can put it on video, in order to keep the arts alive. Theater is it's a collaborative art form, which is one of the things I love about it. It's not, you can't just do it with one person. And as a result, with COVID, we really couldn't operate the way that we're used to operating. And I have to say that the federal government, they had a program called the Shuttered Venues Operating Grant, which was a grant for performing arts, primarily organizations that had closed because they couldn't operate. Because of that grant, and it was a pretty substantial amount of money that every theater could apply for, I think without that money, most of the small theaters in this country would not be functioning anymore.
Is that money still available?
No. It was last year was when they started giving out the money. But it was enough. Like I work for Seattle Public Theater as well as Vashon Repertory Theater. And Seattle Public was able to get through the Shutter Venues grant a pretty substantial amount of money that has kept the doors open and kept things going. And that without it, I don't know that it would have survived.
So what you're saying is the money was an advantage that helped theaters kind of continue in their traditional style and,
yes.
and functionality, if you will.
And continue to pay people so that they could come up with other creative ways of reaching out to people, but also to reopen the doors. Seattle Public Theater was closed for a year and a half. They reopened the doors during the holiday time with a holiday show. And reopening that theater took money because it had been just shut down. And we had to rehire people that had been laid off. And we had to really think through how to reboot, as it were, a theater company. So it was hard.
And I wonder... if Seattle Public Theater might be an example of other small nonprofit theaters or even large nonprofit theaters who were able to continue collecting donations and grants, were they able to save a bit of money because they were not putting up big mm-hmm. productions? So they had something to work with now, maybe as things open up.
Yeah, that was the whole purpose behind the Shuttered Venues Operating Grant.
Ah, say more about
and
that.
Also to help, like, fortunately, Seattle Public Theater works in a building that is owned by the city, and so the city of Seattle was really able to help to maintain that building and keep going. But there are other organizations that have their own building and have to pay rent no matter whether they're operating or not, and pay the utilities, and that's just what's really difficult for them. But this grant helped them to be able to continue to do that, even when you're not producing work and selling tickets.
So maybe things are starting to lighten up. Maybe theater and performing arts are going to start to return. What are the obstacles you're still facing?
I think getting people to come to the theater is a big obstacle. I think many people are still very nervous about being in large crowds. And so we have to get beyond that. And hopefully, I'm hopeful that Omicron is the last of the variants that we have to worry about, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. We all hope.
So we'll see. And if we can get beyond Omicron, and then people can start feeling more comfortable about coming to the theater and being in a crowd, that's the big thing, I think, is getting people to feel comfortable again.
What do you see then as the future for live theater and live performing arts? Where do you see it going, not only as the pandemic perhaps lifts, but what are the things that have changed that you think are going to stick?
That's a really good question. And I've talked a lot with a lot of different theater artists about that, because I don't think we're going to be able to go back to quote unquote normal, whatever mm-hmm. that was. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to be malleable and flexible and change and come up with new ideas and new ways of working. But I think we can do that. We already are. So that's very exciting to me. Theater's been around for hundreds and thousands of years, since the Greek days and the Romans. And I think it will continue to reinvent itself and come up with new ideas and come up with new ways of working. It's an art form that I don't believe is going away. But I do think that this has been a huge challenge, but we're also able to now look at it and go, okay, what's next?
Yeah,
and
so
what can we do?
What are the contingencies, if you will, that you're preparing for, you and others, like at Seattle Public Theater? What are the what ifs?
Well, the big what if is what's the next illness that is going to come across.
Right.
I mean, I don't believe that COVID is the only thing that we're going to have to worry about in our lifetime. I think there's going to be other diseases that are going to come up and shut doors. I mean, I also think we as a community need to worry about things like earthquakes, which have not happened in a long time, and which I think is going to be heading down our road soon. So I think
that's a big contingency.
It's a big contingency.
Yeah.
So, but I think that what I have seen is the resilience of artists, how artists are able to be flexible and go, okay, this isn't going to work, so what do we do now? And be, for me, the arts are so important, especially during times of trouble. And it's a way for people to be able to find out more about themselves. I believe that the arts can change lives. It's certainly changed mine. And When I was a little girl, I started taking drama lessons, and it just changed me completely I just became a different person. So the arts can change lives, and the arts are a way for people to express themselves, especially during times of trouble. And we need to keep doing that.
And that makes me wonder, and maybe you know, what, if anything, are you seeing change in the stories that playwrights are choosing to tell? How are they different? Not just in the stories, but also in perhaps the way that they're designing sets. Are there changes that you're seeing, and what are those?
I think that we are much more environmentally aware when it comes to doing things like building scenery and using the resources that we have. I also think that I believe, and The Exonerated is a great example of that, that we can tell stories that are sometimes difficult for people to hear, but you can do them on the stage theatrically, and it's easier for people to listen to and to pay attention to. Stories that if they read in the paper or saw in the news, they might turn off or tune out because it's too hard. But you can use theater as a way to tell these stories that will make them walk in another person's shoes just for a little while, or be that person, or think about that person's point of view, and that they might not necessarily do if you had a conversation with them or read it in the paper or saw it on the news.
That kind of brings me to the question of what it's like to be a director for a show like The Exonerated, which does cover some pretty hard material. How are you working with your actors who are playing people in very difficult circumstances? How do you work with them, and what do you see as they evolve in the development of their characters?
That's a really good question. I've started working on The Exonerated by talking with each of the individual actors who are the six exonerated people, and talking about their backgrounds and their history and why they are interested in doing this role, and what has attracted them to this role. And I'm getting some really incredible answers from people that are being very honest and open about themselves and their lives and who they are. And I think that's part of being an actor, is that an actor has to find somewhere in themselves something that relates to the person that they are portraying, and then use that as a way to communicate to an audience. We're starting with that. With what does this character tell you about you? Why are you attracted to being this character?
So can you provide, it could be too personal to be specific, but do you have some generalities about what you're learning from these actors who are portraying people who were so brutally wronged?
A lot of it is they can relate because they have a sibling or a father or a mother or someone who was in jail, had problems, had mental health issues or whatever, and they're able to relate directly with the character from that point of view. Also, we have four African American actors in The Exonerated, and it is so wonderful to hear their points of view about what's happening in our society, why the justice system, that more Black people are put in prison than any other people. And there's a real reason for that. And it has to do with our police force. And that we talked about this in rehearsal last night, that police were originally started in the South as a way to control the African population, that enslaved people that were trying to escape or that were uprising and trying to fight the system that they were in. And the police force, the white police force, was developed as a way to control that.
So what you're saying is the police forces, as we now know them in all our communities in the United States, were started as control of slaves,
right,
to control slavery.
Right.
in
exactly.
the South.
In the South.
So that's the model it's built on.
Right.
Hard
and when
to
you
shake
understand that,
that yeah.
when you understand that, then it really helps to make a to think about the future of the police in this country. I was talking with our wonderful dramaturg, Kendra, who is doing all the research and all of this, because there's a lot of information out there. And she said, you know, you really need to understand the history, because it contextualizes everything that's going on in this country right now. And it really does. It contextualizes the Black Lives Matter movement, the Defund the Police movement. It totally contextualizes the whole QAnon theory and the people that are anti-vaccination people. It really helps to understand if you understand historical context. And so that's one of the things that we are doing to begin with in Exonerated.
I recently read an article about the history of the charges of sedition in this country, and that traditionally or statistically, the protests of for civil rights and of Black people in this country has regularly been charged as sedition. But when it is white people, white supremacists, insurrectionists, etc., who are protesting, it's not called sedition.
Right.
In fact, the Republican Party just called the January 6th insurrection legitimate political discourse.
I know.
Horrifying.
I couldn't help but laugh.
Well,
I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Laugh okay. over your nausea. Yeah. Yeah, so this particular play is a great example of a way to portray some of the more difficult questions that are part of our society.
Yes,
in a way that is I don't want to necessarily entertaining, but it is kind of entertaining
yeah.
and palatable.
Palatable, I think, is a good word, because it's not it's somewhat in your face, but it's not someone looking at you and saying, you know, you're wrong. It's, and that's what I love about theater. One of the first plays that I saw on Broadway in New York was For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Was Enough. And it was a series of poems written by this one woman. I was in college. I couldn't stop crying by the end of it. And here I am, this, you know, white privileged girl from the South, and this was a play about Black women and how they are used and abused and what they have to do in order to survive. And it really changed me. And that's what theater can do.
Charlotte Tinkin, I can't thank you enough for helping us to change through all your work in theater now, in the past, and as you go forward with Vashon Repertory Theater. Thank you so much,
thank
Charlotte,
you, Susan.
For being here.
It's so nice to talk to you. And I'm really hoping I'll see a lot of people at the Exonerated February 25th, 26th, and 27th.
And get your tickets through VCA or yep. just show up.
Yeah.
I'm Susan McCabe. Thanks for listening to Real Talk. I am delighted to have your company every other week now. My next show, February 22nd, I will have Mr. Michael Greer, who is the CEO of Washington Arts Fund, and he can tell us a little more nitty-gritty about the future of arts here in the United States. Thanks for listening.